Hey, thanks for tuning into the While You Walk podcast. This is the podcast you listen to while you walk. This is Matt Lovett reminding you that life is short. What can you do today to move your life forward? There might be some ideas in this podcast. Enjoy. All right, welcome to the While You Walk podcast. I'm here with Nina Shelby Lovett. I don't know.
Question mark? Hello.
We do the talking, you do the walking. So hopefully you're walking right now. At the airing of this podcast, we may have just gotten married, and I thought it might be cool and fun and interesting for anyone listening to get to know my fiance slash wife. So today we will figure out how is Nina a high performer and what tips might she have, and then I'm sure she will drop some interesting juice about Matt Lovett and his imperfections.
Oh, yes.
All right, Nina. So let's start off with the fundamental questions on the podcast. New question for the podcast is, what is your favorite type of vacation?
Okay, so let's see. Well, Matt and I are getting married on the beach because we always go on this family vacation to the beach every year with my family. And I think we both mutually love the beach. Yeah. I do love the mountains. You have mountains on here. Like, I love Colorado. I'm going to have to say favorite vacation. I know it's a little typical, but it's the beach. Any beach, really.
And then how long should a vacation be?
Oh, gosh. So here's where people always do it wrong. People go to the beach for like 3 days. I feel like by day three, you're just getting into the beach vibe. Mm-hmm. I like a full week at the beach. In my family, we've always done that, and people are always surprised, like, it's such a long time. But I mean, to get in that full chill mode, I say a week. I say 5 days to a week.
Yeah, that's a good point. I find it functionally better to like vacation for half of a week so I can work the other half of the week and kind of shift all my work over. But if my goal is to really chill out, I think you got to get a good 9 days in there. That's good.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, if it's a non-beach vacay, sometimes a week is too much. But at the beach, you can go a week.
All right. Next question for Nina Shelby Lovett. What difficult challenges have shaped your life, your personality, your skill sets? What difficult challenges have shaped you?
How much time do you have? I'm kidding.
Like 30, 40 minutes.
Like 30 to 40 minutes. Okay, good to know. I would say, like, from when I was younger, it was more so about, you know, trying to fit in a school where maybe I wasn't exactly like everybody else. But that kind of manifested into me loving my uniqueness. A difficult challenge that comes to mind that's more recent was having to quit my job about 5 years ago and probably our big breakup and having to navigate my life not being what I thought it was going to be for a time. Definitely changed from that time period. Definitely had to learn to grow in a lot of ways.
We'll give us some details.
Well, so I worked for an insurance company. So I have a math degree. And I always thought I would be an actuary, if anybody actually knows what that is. It's kind of like you work for an insurance company and you decide the rates that you're going to charge people. So it's probability based and blah, blah, blah. I'm interested in the math. I didn't realize I wasn't going to like being in a cubicle all day, staring at a computer screen, not talking to anybody. Like, you know, you can be interested in the subject, but are you interested in the day-to-day life that that job's gonna look like? For me, the answer was no. So I get this job right out of college, and I did not quit, you know, right away. I stayed in this job for 4 years that I really was not happy doing. And I think Matt saw that because we were dating. For maybe, what, 2 years out of that 4 years?
Yeah, you're much happier after you quit that job. Which, it's an interesting point. We both like to coach and teach, but it depends on the environment that you do it. Or let's just say you like math. Well, if you can bring math into one-on-one tutoring, it's more fun. If I can take my coaching and my teaching out of a classroom setting and into a more private, more free session, it's more fun. So you can still follow your passion, but under what context and what system, what set of rules?
Yeah, and so, yeah.
All right.
Well said.
So we're going to label you as a high performer in the realm of making yourself happy.
Yes, I could agree with that.
So are you really top 1% in the world at making yourself happy?
And so just to circle back, because you mentioned the tutoring. So I did eventually quit this job, and I am now a math tutor. So what Matt was kind of talking about there was I found a way to go from, I liked the math aspect. I started tutoring on the side at one point, and I eventually realized, oh, I really can do this math and then be, you know, face to face with people and have a job that I actually enjoy doing. So that's kind of where I'm at now. And that difficult challenge definitely shaped my life because, I mean, that's what I do now for a living is the tutoring instead.
Yeah. All right. As a happy high performer.
Yes.
How do you personally stay motivated?
Oh, gosh. It's intrinsic. I am an upholder. So I am a fan of Gretchen Rubin's work. If there are any women out there listening and you like, maybe your husband's like, Matt's podcast or his coaching, I would suggest the women in your lives might like Gretchen Rubin. very similar vibe. And what she has shown me is that I'm an upholder, which means I'm motivated from myself. So anything that's going to get me happier or I can see, oh, I kind of visualize where I would be if I was able to do that thing. Let's say it's meditating. Let's say it's walking every morning, whatever it is. If it's going to add to me feeling happy, I'm there. That's kind of my motivation is how am I going to feel if I do this? But what I'm not so great at is let's say someone else wants me to do it. I'm not as great at being motivated by other people, if that makes sense. But for me, it's all about the feeling I get after I complete whatever it is. And I just keep my eye on that prize.
It's about the feeling that you get after.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
So do you do anything to remind yourself of that feeling?
Well, yeah. Basically, when I don't do the thing, again, let's say it's meditating, and then I start to feel a little irritated, a little not the way I want to feel, that's my motivation to get back on track. You just always remember, how did that make me feel when I did that thing? Mm-hmm. And why was I, you know, drawn to doing it in the first place? So don't I want to feel like that? Okay.
All right. Now, you have to, your organizational skills, your ability to stay organized have really gotten better and better and better over the years. Tell us a bit about where you were and where you are now and what has really helped you get more organized.
I'm laughing because what's helped me get more organized is living with Matt.
Imagine the torture.
I'm not an organized person. Gosh, where do I begin? I don't even know where to begin with this. I mean, I guess.
Well, let's just say, you know, you used to have clothes everywhere. You used to,
yes.
What else?
Okay, thank you. See, Matt can remember all this because this is the stuff that's bothered him. yeah, I'm the type of person, like, I lived by myself. I would keep the clothes in the dryer and just pull out what I wanted for that day. Don't judge me.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that
I know. There's probably people listening who do that. I mean.
Especially if you're single.
If you're single, yeah. So there were things like that I had to get in line with. But it wasn't just, see, we can talk about the petty house stuff. But, I mean, in a more coaching-oriented way, you have helped me with literally things like using the note file app on my iPhone. Like, you know, they have the note files. Like, make a note of that. And then how, really, I would say the structure you gave me of, okay, so the idea pops in your head. That's when we write it down on the note file. But it's still not scheduled at that time, right? Mm-hmm. So then there's going back to the note file, looking at what you have every so often, and then actually scheduling that on your calendar on the phone, which I also use. All things I didn't use before.
And how has it now, how is your life now that you have that bit of organization versus
it
before?
Is so much better, but there is a resistance at the beginning, I would say. So to anyone that first tries any of these organizational tools and finds it to be a little annoying or tedious to have to go in and write it down, whatever, you get so used to it quickly, and then it's like, wow, it's like weight off your chest. I don't now have 10, 20 things swimming around. Who knows when they're getting dealt with? They're on a piece of paper. They're scheduled. They have a time and a day when they happen.
Yeah.
And it does, you'd be surprised how much minute anxiety comes from these little things that build up that just now the anxiety is not there.
Minute anxiety. So yes. Your brain is for having ideas, not for storing ideas.
That's right.
The guy that wrote that book, Getting Things Done, will mention that.
Put that in the podcast notes.
Hopefully I have a podcast. Yeah, I do. So that's your first book, is Getting Things Done. That's a different way to structure things than I'm typically used to. If you are a very compliance oriented person, that book Getting Things Done is very useful.
And I will say, where I'm at currently with this organization is, like we've talked about, it's gotten a lot better. The thing you're helping me with right now, currently I'm still working on, is you'll say to me, all right, Nina, so you had this idea. When does that happen? Specifically, when does that get done? Like, that turnover. Like, all right, now it's here. It needs to go on the calendar. Now, it happens on this day at this time.
Is there anything you can say about dating and marrying a person with a coach's mindset, that when can this attitude of mind become invasive or boundary crossing or annoying in general? Yeah. Talk about that a little bit.
It can be annoying. But... like, I think it's a certain type of person. I mean, you find your partner and you are compatible with them for certain reasons, right? So I can totally see there are some people that would not want to date someone that's coach-oriented mindset like Matt, because some people don't like being told what to do, right? Ever. Like, they don't want advice. Or they think they know the best way to do it or whatever it is. Like, I can just see people really not liking how you will often point out, Nina, like, there's a better way to do that. Or what about this? Or, okay, like, I'll say something. And you think you're just talking to your partner, right? Matt, this or that happened to me, or I felt like this. And he'll turn it around like, so what did you learn from that experience? Or how did you, you know, he'll start with the coaching questions. But honestly, I like it because, you know what, he's right. I mean, a lot of times I'm like, wow, that was helpful. It generally doesn't annoy me, if I'm honest. Like, because it always is, you're pretty good at it.
Well, my intention is not to ever tell you what to do. It's to just ask more questions so that you're thinking about what's next, or you're just thinking about what's next. I'm just provoking insight, your own insight.
Yeah. Yeah. I like I said, maybe it's because you do it in that way. It does not ever really annoy me. I find it really helpful.
All right. Your next standard while you walk coaching question is, who or what holds you accountable? Accountability.
I mean, I feel like based on what I just said, it's mostly you. But I would say also myself, because like I was saying earlier, I really do. So like, I'm the type of person, I like to work out by myself more than I would like to work out with other partners. I focus better when I'm holding myself accountable than when I feel obligated to others. So it's me, I would say, and also obviously you.
Yeah. So you just remind yourself and it gets done, because, you know, I'm not on your workouts at all.
No, I'm saying in general for the organization and other type of stuff, it's you, but it's also me. It's a lot me.
Yeah.
I'm a trainer in my downtime during the day, so I'm kind of used to holding other people accountable. So I feel like, you know, a little bit of a loser if I can't hold myself accountable. So I just, that's my motivation, is like, Nina, you hold other people accountable, so you should be able to do this.
All right. If you are a person who has a high standard for being happy at all times, what are your power habits? What is an absolute must for someone to stay happy?
Power habits. Okay, so these are like things that help me feel my best, so I need to do them.
Yeah. What have you found?
Well, just like you, meditating for sure. I tend to get really irritable if I don't meditate, and I tend to rush. So I need time to just stop and do nothing. I also walk my dog every morning, and that's almost meditative in itself. That's a must for me too. So just get out in nature and get some steps, get some movement, stretching. You know, that's a must for me. I'm like constantly stretching.
Yeah, she will get up and stretch during any TV show.
And then you guys, I need like a creative outlet at all times. And so I always have some weird little hobby I'm doing. Like, that's definitely a must. So I have a tortoise. And then now we have a wild turtle that has come into our home as well. He lives in our backyard. The dude lets me feed him every few days. And I like to rollerblade. I mean, so an absolute must for me is like just having these weird little things that are, you know, a creative outlet, like piano, painting, whatever it is. I always need that. But so it changes.
You've got
the thing that it is, it changes.
You've got a dog, you've got 1.5 turtles, you've got
1.5.
we got one that's in the wild, that it lives in the wild of our backyard, and then one, yes, that we actually have domesticated.
Yes.
So you've got the dog, you've got 1.5 turtles, you've got rollerblading, you've got piano, you've got your paintings, you've got any other eclectic activities you're into?
I mean, reading isn't eclectic, but I read. Oh gosh, I could come up with some eclectic stuff.
You need the variety of stuff to keep yourself
entertained. I need the variety of stuff. But yeah, so as far as the turtle, just funny story. So we do have a tortoise that is a pet of mine. One day I'm training someone in our sunroom, and I look out in the backyard to check on her. I'll just kind of sometimes look and see if I see her. And the exact same size as her, in the exact same spot, is this turtle. Like, it almost felt like the tortoise just changed color suddenly, because I look out and it's not her, it's some other species, but the same thing. And I was like, what is going on? This turtle, I still don't know how it made its way into our secured backyard, but it's here. And so now it just kind of lives with us. But yeah, hobbies, that's a must for me, these little hobbies.
I gotta get better at these, like, segues between questions.
And now a word from our sponsors. Just kidding, guys. Yeah.
I guess I could, like, summarize, you know, the last question.
Well, okay, let me give a segue a go. So that was our power habits, right?
Yes.
And then I talked about my hobbies and how I have these little eclectic hobbies on the side. And then when I'm not doing that, I would be working, right?
Yeah.
So I have my tutoring that I talked about. So now you would ask the question.
Go ahead. Oh, okay. Well, with your tutoring. Your tutoring, your personal training, you also teach fitness classes. How have you improved at your profession over the years? Because you've taught 1,000 classes, you've tutored, you know, tons of hours. How have you improved in the last year or two?
Well, before I even answer, I got to say, that was a great segue.
Thanks. Very smooth for me.
I love this question, y'all, because I actually am really proud of myself for kind of finding this niche, finding this thing that I love doing, which is tutoring, like, high school kids. I have some college students. I don't do really younger than, like, 7th grade.
Math tutor.
And I love it. And yes, you definitely get better over the years. Not just because you start to, I mean, at this point, it's like Pythagorean theorem, all those annoying formulas y'all might remember learning in high school. They're just in the back of my mind. But you learn how kids learn, and it's quicker and quicker for me to pick up, oh, they're gonna learn this way. They're visual, they're whatever it is. They wanna know the reason why it's this way, or they don't care the reason, just give them the formula. And then you kind of pick and choose. And I just find I can get kids to get the picture that much faster now.
All right, so you've got parents listening who are teaching their kids math. Any specific details in there?
Hire a tutor. I mean, any parents that are struggling with that will be shaking their head. They do not want to listen to the parents. I have so many parents tell me that. They're like, sometimes the parents are like people who know a good bit of math, but they're like, they don't want to listen to me. Like, I try to tell them, they don't want to listen to me. And so it's like, if you're struggling with it, it might be worth the money. Just outsource it. They will listen to someone like me so much faster than they want to hear you tell them how to do a problem. It's just the way it is, unfortunately. Yeah. But if you're stuck where, okay, so advice for anyone that's stuck and wants to actually do it themselves, kind of like you were saying with the coaching, maybe don't tell them what to do, kind of lead them to the answer. Because I remember last night we were doing some math problems together, and I wouldn't tell you how to do it. I would say, okay, well, why'd you put the X there?
Yeah.
Well, shouldn't that go there too? Just kind of doing those, what did you call it, leading questions?
Yeah, I guess.
That's kind of what I do.
You're not leading them anywhere, because you don't know where you're going. Like, I don't have an outcome that, okay, I'm trying to get you to. I just know a general direction that we need to explore, and then you're going to figure out, okay, where we really should be going.
Well, with the math, it's more of like actual leading questions. Yeah. But still, it's like, why move this over here? Why would you ask them stuff instead of just making them listen to you talk? Keeps them engaged.
Yeah. All right, I'm looking at the rest of these questions. We've got some more fun relationship type stuff coming up here.
Yes, we do.
Let's just go straight to your all-time favorite books.
I'm not prepared for this question.
What comes to mind?
Oh, okay. Like first book.
An absolute must read.
I do have an absolute, well, I'm not going to call this a must read. I think this is depending on your genre types, but I have a favorite book of all time, and it is Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier. This is a book a lot of people had to read in high school, so a lot of people are going to know exactly what I'm talking about. I just loved it. Read it a couple times. I'm a thriller reader. I'm a woman, so I read the same type of books like all women read. These like fiction thriller books. But if I'm suggesting books on self-improvement, I do like Happier by Gretchen Rubin. I do like The Four Agreements, which Matt had me read. It's by, what's his name?
Don Miguel Ruiz.
That's what I was thinking too. Don Miguel. Okay, yeah. The Four Agreements. Very short read. Have you talked about it before on the podcast?
Already twice.
Very short read. So worth it because, I mean, seriously, under an hour, you can get through the entire book, and it has some really good tools in it. I would have to sit here and think to have some other stuff. I mean, there's like, what, Come As You Are for more intimate.
All right. Those are all the coaching type questions. Now people are going to get a chance to get to know our relationship a little bit. So you have taken about 3 minutes to dig through some questions. And so what is this deck of cards that we're actually looking at right now?
It's called The And, which is like a strange name, like The And. It's on Amazon. It's basically picture like a deck of cards, but each one has a question. They have questions geared towards anything. They have relationships, friends, family. We have the long-term relationship deck. Yeah. So I handpicked some questions that'd be kind of fun, sweet, silly, whatever, from that.
And I've been recommending this to clients and friends for years because these are really good stimulating conversation starters. So even if you've been married forever, you sit at home on the couch, maybe with a glass of wine on a Saturday night, and you ask each other questions and you just start to connect, and we'll show you how right now. So Nina, what is our first question?
Okay, I'm picking which one I want to be first. What do I do that helps you the most?
What do you do that helps me the most? A lot of small things. So you keep me happy all the time. You remind me that I should be happy all the time, just with your mood. You do the dishes. You house and feed a human dog that is sometimes entertaining.
A living dog.
You make me feel loved all the time.
Aww.
And always entertained.
Well,
what do I do that helps you the most?
Oh, we're doing this? Okay. kind of the stuff I said. You've helped me in a lot of ways to like get organized. You'll like call me out on my... Do you curse on this?
Sure.
My BS. You'll call me out on stuff. You'll tell me when I need to be trying harder. I tend to just kind of sit back sometimes and, oh, this is happy enough. And you've always like gotten me to that next plateau of happiness, like that next, the next level. Like, Nina, what if we aimed for this? What if we went for that? And then I'm like, oh wow, like that's possible. Like you always like push, you're like the guide that's pushing us forward. And then as far as family and marriage and children, I'm the guy pushing us forward. But everything else, you're the guy pushing us forward.
Yeah.
and then other stuff. You definitely make me laugh more than anyone else. Okay, next one. Well, this is just related to what we were just talking about, so I'll just ask it just to kind of reiterate. How has our relationship changed my habits? It's like what
all
we
right.
just talked about.
You want to go?
You answer.
You know what? One specific thing comes to mind. I would go out and stay out late at night with friends. And Nina does not like to go out past 10 o'clock at night. So it's kept me in more, which means I'm waking up early on the weekends and getting stuff done, and I'm just not wasting time partying and damaging my health and draining my energy mainly. So it's kind of grounded me in a very positive way.
You want me to answer that?
Yeah.
Which one was it? Oh, I was like, which question was it? So yeah, for me, it's just exactly what I said. How has our relationship changed my habits? It's simply just like my organization's gotten better. Everything I just said. I feel like I'll just be repeating myself. Okay. Do you want a funny one now or do you want a sweet one? You pick.
I want a funny one.
Okay. Do your best impression of me when I'm really excited.
So Nina has this like this gallop that she does from the front of the house to the back of the house. Let me see if I can get the sound in here.
Okay.
It would sound a bit like this.
Yeah, that's right.
And then she smiles, and then she's got something fun and exciting to say, and she's like, "Oh, can we do this? How about this? How about this?" And then she's all bright and bubbly.
Yep, that's about right.
Bubbliest person on earth.
My answer for you would be like, you know, you're just like pumped, like, listen to this, like so-and-so said, like, and then I got this guy doing this, and like then this happened, and it was great. Like, you're just like amped up, and there's like big, like if y'all could see my arms right now, it's like big gestures with the arms, and like maybe a clap, and like you're just like, the way you talk, it's like, excited. That's you.
Sounds intense.
So I thought this was funny because I could think of a lot of answers to the opposite of this question. When were we most successful together?
When were we most successful together? Tomorrow?
Doesn't your mind immediately go to when we were least successful? Because we started a business together that we both, which we didn't lose any money from, but have you talked about the yoga studio at all?
We started a fitness and yoga studio and it did okay, but you know, it's not fun waking up at 5 a.m. And
we still all, so it was me, him, and his sister, and we all still kept our full-time jobs. And then we tried to do this on the side, waking up at 5 a.m. teaching classes, trying to get people in the door to come do yoga. But yeah, we were open for what, less than a year? And we didn't lose any money. I mean, it was honestly, all in all, such a blessing to get to this opportunity to try this out and see if it worked, see if we liked it and say, hey, we do not like doing this, and to lose no money, like exploring that.
Yeah. And then learning about, like, it taught me kind of how to train better. It taught me better. People want simpler workouts that they don't have to think as much. And then, we got to network a little bit more. So it was a useful, valuable experience.
Yeah. It's a good lesson in two things. One, that failure is not really, you know, the worst thing in the world. Like, you tried. The worst thing in the world is what, Matt? It's not failure. It's what's worse than failing? We told her this the other day. Not trying
is worse than failing.
Not trying is worse than
See,
failing.
I don't even have that thought in my head because I've never
Tried.
I would never not try.
But yeah, so we like had this failure that taught us a lot that we didn't lose anything from other than some time.
I wouldn't call it a failure. I would call it an experience that we got feedback from.
Well, and I was about to say, yeah, and the other part of that is we learned valuable information of what we don't want to be doing. Like, you learned you don't like teaching classes, you know, and it got you, you could say it got you one step closer to figuring out the coaching thing was where you wanted to be, because that you've explored that and that's not something you want.
It's just something I've learned about myself recently is that I always have to move forward and do something, and then I tend to get into things that I'm like going down a complete road where like I shouldn't even be down there just because I have to be doing something. So it's taught me to kind of sit back, meditate, reflect, and decide carefully before I commit to my next project and make sure it's more in line with what I'm going to enjoy doing and not any other needs. All right.
Okay. How am I most similar to you, and how does that scare you? It says. If there's nothing that scares you, just answer the similar part.
Most similar?
Yes.
You know, I think I'm slightly impatient.
Y'all may sense where this is going.
Nina is a bit more impatient.
A bit?
A bit more. And so we kind of have the same pace of things. Like when we would start dating, like we would text back and forth quickly a lot.
That's a good point.
And it might come off intense to other people, but that was just kind of our wavelength. And there's like always an intensity about us that I think would maybe overwhelm other people.
I think that's exactly right. I think you're right. We are like even when we're being goofy and silly, like we'll like, you know, just be silly, be a character, whatever. We're like always taking it to like another level.
Yeah.
Or we're like excited about something. We're like amped. We're excited. Like we do tend to like match each other in this intensity in that way. That doesn't scare me though. I think it's pretty fun.
We find ourselves all over the room pretty often. Maybe we're wrestling. Maybe we're just kidding around, but like there's a lot of movement. There's a lot of intensity.
And he literally means when he says maybe we're wrestling, like we actually wrestle. Like actually.
It happens. She's never won.
Okay, so why do you think I am in your life is the last question.
Why do I think you're in my life? We just watched Jerry Maguire, so you complete me.
You had me at hello. There's this moment where they say those two lines back to back, and it was just the most cliche moment of y'all. I just watched this for the first time. I know
everyone else has seen Jerry.
I had never seen a Tom Cruise movie at all, and that was the first. So now I've seen Jerry Maguire. That's it. So any other movie you can think of right now with Tom Cruise in it, I have not seen it.
So wait, what was the question?
Why do you think I'm in your life?
You know, there's some things like some small things just don't matter. Like today I was thinking about like the dog and how there's like dog hair like in my house now, and I never had to deal with that. But it's not like I walk around every day pissed off because there's dog hair somewhere. It doesn't actually affect my day. And sometimes you let these small things bother you that just aren't really a factor. So there's a lot of things like that that I've learned that's just what comes to mind. That's what I'll notice. So a lot of small things like that, which helps you make distinctions about, well, you know, there are things that do matter. Like if we leave the stove on and burn the house down, like that's a small thing that like, is this going to be a potential catastrophe or is this going to be catastrophic in any way? And dog hair in your house is never going to be catastrophic. So, you know, it helps me think about those things more.
Because those little things take up like real estate in your brain, right? So it's kind of like if it isn't, if it's so minute, it's good to learn to like let it go and not fixate on it or spend really like mental energy on stuff that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We're a good match in that way. I think you're in my life to be like a guide, like, and to be my partner. And I mean, we're probably gonna have a family together, wouldn't you say? I mean, maybe like to be the father of my kids, like all that. We're gonna do life together.
And we're told our child is going to be what?
Beautiful.
Beautiful, and then fiery.
Fiery is an assumption that I think is fair to make.
A little spicy.
A little spicy. We're hoping for a girl, y'all. We'll see.
When are we gonna be trying to get this girl?
Like a year from now.
Maybe less.
Maybe less. Maybe a little less.
We'll see. Did you have any other questions?
I don't have any more relationship questions. I have some questions for you and I have some jokes.
Oh, okay.
Which do you want first?
Oh, let's save the jokes for the end.
Okay. So I don't have my computer. I have three questions. I remember two. Hopefully the third will come to me. First question. Matt, what excites you most about this new transition you're going through from trainer to now you're coaching? Now you're a performance coach. What do you love most about this? Or what excites you most, you know?
What excites me is that I come from a place where things were kind of compartmentalized and my ability to influence a situation was very limited. So I'd be working inside of a hospital, personal training with their rules, their programs, their medications, their doctors, their philosophies. Then I opened up and got away from that And now I was able to give out my own programs, my own opinions, but I'm still in this fitness box and I couldn't access the rest of everyone else's life. Then I opened up and started doing yoga and meditation, and I could incorporate some yoga principles, just some stretching, some mindset talk, you know, things like that. But still, as a trainer, people are coming to me just for this compartment of their life, their personal health. So I went from, you know, really getting in shape and fat loss to actually overall personal health. And now that I've got, you know, permission and access to coaching the rest of their lives, their daily schedules, their energy, their routines, their, you know, holistic happiness, and how their job stress or their relationship stress or just missing gaps in their life can actually influence their health and other behavior. So having access to all this, I've been able to have much more of an impact on people's lives, and that is much more exciting because of the ability to generate more and better.
Before, you were just helping them in this one little aspect. Now you get to help them in any aspect that they want help in.
Yeah, and inside of the training, people are just paying for a workout.
They don't want to hear about, oh, you know, you told me you're doing this, you really should be doing that. Like, they don't want to hear any of that.
I don't ever say you should be doing anything.
Okay, listen, guys, I'm not the coach, so I might not, you know, say this exactly the way it should be said. You're the expert here.
Yeah.
This is why I'm not a coach, see? Listen, ask me a math problem. Okay, next question I have for you is, what is the one thing you would tell everyone who's right now listening to this to do today?
One thing?
One thing everyone who's listening to this should do today.
You know, just take 2 minutes and try and do it every day. Think about things that you're grateful for, because being grateful for things, you can't be grateful and pissed off. You can't be grateful and angry. You can't be grateful and depressed.
If you are any of those things, it will at least help. So at least, you know... It'll boost your mood regardless.
Yeah, you know, take some facts. Like, you live in a country where, you know, poor in America is rich across the world. Or, you know, you've just got, you know, my workout studio, which every day is a blessing.
You know, roof over your head, food to eat.
You've got someone in your life that loves you. You know, just when you remind yourself of that every day, it makes you happy. So I literally put that in my morning meditation to just remind myself that I'm lucky and I'm not allowed to be upset about things that are trivial.
Yeah. Okay, last silly question. Name your favorite thing about our dog Rocco.
I like the fact
there's too many to pick, right?
I would say Rocco doesn't, like, you know, he doesn't bark a lot. He doesn't actually do his business in the house, which is,
y'all, he's so good at that.
Which is, you know, great.
Yes.
Because then, then we'd be at odds, and then I'd have to punish him. And
if only we're lucky enough that our future child will do the same.
Yeah, you know, it's not too hard to get a kid not to crap in your room, though. You know, they tend to.
You say that. You say that.
I guess we'll cross that bridge.
Maybe Rocco could teach the kid. Look, we go outside, and then the kid will, you know, go outside.
Just poop outside.
Just poop outside.
Yeah, everyone has this conversation.
Okay, so anything else on a serious note that you want to ask me? You want to talk about that you want to share? Sorry, I'm like hitting the desk. I'm breaking a cardinal rule of podcasting.
Do you have any advice for any girl that's trying to develop their butt?
It's all about people. Yes. People want to see these people on Instagram doing all these like crazy things. Like, oh, now we'll hit it from this angle. We'll do this weird move that looks kind of nuts. Just do some classic glute bridges, high volume. You know, it doesn't need to be complicated. Heavy glute bridges, many as you can do, period.
All right.
And like walking or running.
All right, now you got jokes?
Oh, I got jokes. Okay. So settle in, you know, put your dad joke hat on and get ready for some jokes you may or may not laugh at. So I'm just going to tell y'all a story. Before I tell any jokes, I just wanted to tell y'all this like story that happened to me. And it's about Rocco, my dog. He used to chase people on a bike a lot. Like, Matt, do you remember this? He used to chase people on a bike a lot.
He chases everything. He chases cars.
It got so bad, I finally had to take his bike away. Silence. Crickets. There we go. We'll let that sink in.
Uh-huh.
Today at the bank, an old lady asked me to help check her balance. So I pushed her over.
Very in line with the rest of the podcast.
I have a split personality, said Tom, being frank. I like these, like, let's just do, like, complete silence after each one. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. I had a few jokes about people who are unemployed, but none of them work. And then, lastly, I have math jokes.
Are they, like, are they sharp or are they more obtuse?
Like, who invented arithmetic? Henry the 1/8. Henry the 1/8 invented arithmetic. What did the math book say to the chemistry book? You're lucky to have solutions. I'm just full of problems. Where does the rhombus post its selfies? On parallelogram. And lastly, who was the roundest knight at King Arthur's table? Who was the roundest knight at King Arthur's table?
Who?
Circumference.
Whoa.
And now that I know y'all are just tears rolling down your face with laughter.
All right.
I'm going to bow out.
If anyone's still listening, we'd like to thank Nina Shelby Lovett for joining us on the podcast today. Hopefully you're still walking. We're about done talking. We suggest this game, what is it?
The And. You can find it on Amazon. And like I said, they have stuff for all types of relationships, like anything you could think of. Longtime friends, people who don't know each other. They literally have a pack for strangers as well.
Yeah, really good for connecting and intimacy and just a good date thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's all we've got. Thank you guys for listening to this one. And if you have any notes or anything to write down, do it now. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Anything interesting in there? Did you take any notes? What's one thing you can do right now to build momentum towards your next goal? Remember, on your deathbed, most people regret the things they didn't do. Thanks for tuning in, and hey, thanks for bringing your dreams to reality. Have a great day. We'll be right back.